Want to find a way to give back this holiday season, but not sure how? Go to GoFundMe.com right now and start a GoFundMe. It's easy. Instead of wasting time and money on gifts that nobody wants or needs, help your friends and family give back and give to something good, something meaningful. You can start a GoFundMe today in just minutes. Fundraise for a friend or family member, a cause, or an organization. Help out the local animal shelter. Get that little lending library up and running. Just make your world a better place. GoFundMe is the trusted place to fundraise for what you care about. With no pressure to hit your fundraising goal, but tons of tools to help you reach it, you can confidently start fundraising right now. 'Tis the season for giving back, and giving feels good. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to episode number 102 of the Ridge Hunter Outdoors Podcast. This week, we're going to talk about Blake's season. He just bucked out, so he's had a great season already. We're going to get into that, talk about a couple of the bucks that he shot, kind of his plan going in, how he executed on it, all that kind of stuff, what he learned from this year, and then what we're going to do going forward. We'll get into that a little bit as well. But first, don't forget about our partners for the podcast. Our longest-standing partner being Grandpa Ray Outdoors, where... Actually, Blake shot one of his bucks on a Grandpa Ray Outdoors food plot, and we'll talk a little bit about that when we get into it. But if you guys haven't heard of them, if you ain't been listening to the podcast, they specialize in providing the best nutrition for white-tailed deer on your property, starting with the soil. They've got a full line of high-quality food plot seed and plant foods with over 14 different food plot blends to choose from. You're not going to have any trouble finding what you're looking for, whether that be corn and beans, liquid fertilizers, soil test kits. They've got spring and fall blends. When it comes to food plots, they've pretty much got it. They were started in 2015, but John O'Brien up there has been in the seed nutrition business since 1991, and they're not just about selling their products. Their customer service is second to none. They're going to answer any questions you have about what blends would be best for your specific property. That way you can achieve the best results possible. They're going to treat you individually, so they're not going to tell you to plant the same thing in northern Iowa that they would in southern Georgia, or different soil types and all that stuff. If you want to, go to their website, GrandpaRayOutdoors.com, and use their discount code RHOPODCAST, that's all lowercase, no space, and you get 5% off your order there. Or we're also a dealer for them, so you can come in and order anything when it gets to that time. Before you know it, it's going to be time to get some clover stuff in, and he's got some good clover blends as well. We have our Ridge Hunter one, but if you're wanting to do that, you know, it's right around the corner, time to order that stuff to get frost seeding done, so don't forget about him when you do that, and that discount code. Our other partner for the podcast is Rodney Hawkins. And again, if you guys have been listening, you know about Rodney probably. But if you haven't, if you guys are looking for your own piece of ground to manage and hunt, he's going to be the guy to talk to. He grew up hunting and fishing in Southern Illinois, and now he's putting that love for the outdoors into selling recreational properties as a land specialist with Midwest Farm and Land. Now, Midwest Farm and Land isn't your average real estate company. They sold over $85 million worth of ground in 2022. With agents like Rodney all over Illinois, really a local company with a national reach. For more info on them, you can contact Rodney directly at 618-925-3153, and he'll get you taken care of. He's also got his own business called RG Outdoors. He's currently got products from Radix Hunting. He's got Tacticam trail cameras. I know how much everybody loves those. He's going to be your dealer for those if you're in Southern Illinois. Go see him. He's also got an all-natural scent elimination product called Camo Dust that you should check out. See if it works for you. Any of that stuff that you're interested in or any of the new stuff he might be coming up with soon, you can find on their Facebook page, send them a message through there. It's RG Outdoors. You can email them at rgoutdoors@yahoo.com. Or again, just call Rodney directly at 618-925-3153. Our social media pages are Ridge Hunter Outdoors. It's Instagram and Facebook. We do have a private Facebook group for listeners of the podcast. It's called RHO Podcast Patrons. You can go in there, treat it like a normal hunting group, share your success, your failures, stuff you've learned, products you like, all that kind of stuff. And you can have some input on the podcast as well. So if you have a guest coming up, you can ask them questions on there. You can tell us who you'd like to have on. You can ask us questions to answer on the podcast. Tell us topics you want us to discuss. All that kind of stuff is in that group, RHO Podcast Patrons. Our website is RidgeHunterOutdoors.com. If you find anything on there you like, whether it be the all-natural scent products, the Buck or Doe Tarsal Spray, the Calming Spray, our apparel on there, our food plot blend, which is clover and chicory and some alfalfa, you can use the discount code RHOPOD, that's all caps, no space, and you get 10% off your entire order. If you're listening on Apple Podcast or Spotify or anywhere else for that matter, follow us, subscribe, whatever it is, and leave a review. That really helps us out, and it doesn't take but like 10 seconds of your time. The YouTube channel is Ridge Hunter Outdoors too. You can find the podcast on there. You can also find our new fall series, Fall Pursuit. or putting up all our hunts. You'll be able to see the recovery of Blake's first buck and then some stuff from his hunt that he just had where he bucked out on. We're going to do that all through the season. I'm not sure how late into the season we'll go. We'll just play it by ear there. But that's where you can find that and all our other YouTube content as well. It's on Ridge Hunter Outdoors. That's our channel. Subscribe to that. Hit the like button. Appreciate everybody who has already done that. Now, all that said, let's get into episode number 102 with Blake Garrett. This is the Ridge Hunter Outdoors Podcast. All right, so Blake's in studio with us. He's probably going to be, I'd say this won't be his last time on. Probably have him on more coming up because he's been already been a big part of the Fall Pursuit Series. If you guys have been watching that, if you haven't, go check it out because I've been pretty happy with how it's turned out so far. We were kind of talking about it earlier. Like, I didn't want to put out something that was, you know, not great quality. And I'm not saying it's the best out there, but I think we're doing all right. You know, we're learning our way through it. You, Blake, and Nate have some filming experience. I have a little bit, not as much as you guys do. Definitely not as much as Nate with that kind of stuff. But we're mostly new to it, so it's been kind of a fun experience. But again, if you guys have been watching that, you've seen Blake get on some really nice deer, and he's now bucked out. He just killed his biggest buck today.
Biggest archery deer to date.
On
the third.
Yeah. So it'll have been 3 days ago when this comes out.
Yeah.
But
Friday afternoon.
Mm-hmm. So let's go all the way back, though. This was on episode one of Fall Pursuit. We did the recovery.
Yeah.
On the first buck you shot, which is a really solid 8-point. So that's a deer you had been watching in the evenings.
That wasn't the deer I was actually in there after.
Right.
Yeah. I was sitting up about a, I don't know, half mile away just watching these deer that week.
Mm-hmm.
And that was not the deer I was after.
Because yeah, we were getting Snapchats like every night you were finding these deer.
Yeah. I'm like, I'm going to go in there and kill that 10-pointer that I'm watching. And I was eyeing this 8-pointer. I'm like, he don't look bad. I didn't see him in person to really determine if I'd shoot him or not. But so I didn't have permission for this ground until opening day.
Right.
After church, I went out there and asked, got permission from the guy. And by the grace of God, he gave me it. I couldn't believe it. I about died.
Right.
But, yeah, so that story's crazy, that hunt. Been nuts I have it on camera, but it'd been awfully gory because I cut my finger off almost.
But that was another Snapchat we got. Was your finger about bleeding out?
Yeah, I was like, all right, let's just start from the beginning of this.
Yep.
What was it that day? Like 91 degrees?
It was hot.
Yeah.
Really hot. Opening day.
This fat boy does not like that.
Yeah.
I was soaked in sweat.
Because you were hanging hunting too, right?
Yeah, I mean, I was going 100% mobile. Took my lone wolf with 4 sticks.
Mm-hmm.
You found a tree on this point where they were just curving around, and I'm like, this is where I want to be. Good cover. I think only went like 3 sticks high, but after the first stick, I realized I needed my handsaw, and I reached in my pack to get it.
Mm-hmm.
The old handsaw's not there no more. And I remembered, that thing's at home. So I was able to call Nate quietly, and thankfully he wasn't hunting. He was doing daddy stuff, I don't know what. But I called him up and said, hey, meet me at the road and bring me your handsaw and your shears. He's like, why? I'm like, because I don't got mine. So, I don't know, 15 minutes later he showed up, and thankfully I started early
because
I knew it was going to be, it's first day, everything goes south quickly when you're trying to set up.
Yep.
Let alone hanging
hunts.
Let alone hanging hunts.
On a property you've never been on before.
Yeah, I mean, it was a disaster.
Yeah.
So, I got that. Get slipped back in there again. And, I don't know. After I got the second stick hung, I was hanging on to a limb, and I was cutting a limb above that. Well, I got through it real easy. And did not get through my bone real easy on my knuckle.
Through it hard enough, easy enough that you got all the way to your finger.
Yeah, like it got bad. Like it was just blood all over the place. I could see my knuckle when I was just flexing my finger real good, and I'm like, well, this goes this hunt. There goes this spot. It's ruined on day one.
Yeah, blood all over the place.
Yeah, they're going to think, wow, what happened?
Yeah.
Bigfoot must be around here somewhere.
And someone stuck him.
Yeah. Man, that would be nice to shoot him if he was real.
I mean, hey.
I'm sure there's a nice payday on the other
end. It's kind of like elk. There's no season for him. So, like, I mean, hey.
Dude, bring him on.
Yeah. We'll try him.
But yeah, I'm finally, I don't know, 15 minutes after trying to doctor this blood just squirting out of my knuckle, I finally get my tree hung. I think I was only 15 feet in the air, maybe. Mm-hmm. I don't think I was that high, if I remember right.
No, oh, no, I was on the stand when we came back.
Yeah, it was. I went straight to the cover. That's all you need to just get the cover.
Yep.
And good backdrop.
Mm-hmm.
So I get in there, sit there. Well, Combine decided to start just across the road that hadn't been there. I'm like, well, that might, I don't think that'll bug them.
Right.
Well, night goes on. Some does start filtering out of the woods real good. I'm like, all right, here they come. They're going to go around this point like they
like you've been watching them.
Yeah, well, that did not happen. They decided just to bed out there in the middle of the field. So I'm like,
why not? That's
different.
Right.
So I'm like, I didn't think nothing of it. Well, I think it was about 6:30, the combine shut right across the road, just decided to stop, and they wanted to clean it off real good, so they took hammers to every shield and panel they could on that thing, because it's an old combine, so mm-hmm. she's seen some age, and nothing comes off easy, so.
You got to persuade it a little.
Yeah, they did a lot of persuading, all right. Yeah, and I'm like, well, this goes my night, because he had the bent. Both bucks had been coming out at 6:20.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I had them timed.
Yep.
Perfect. Well,
so this was the second major setback.
Oh, yeah.
Potentially.
Just, yeah. It was like, well.
Oh, let's call it the third, because you forgot the saw, you cut your finger, and now the guys are out there.
Well, it gets better.
Playing drums on their combine.
Oh, yeah. It gets better. I think about 6:45, they finally stopped. I'm like, yes, finally. Mm-hmm. We're getting some relief. Then some old boy on a four-wheeler decides to run up and down the road. I'm like, oh, goodness sakes. What can go wrong now?
Mm-hmm.
Then he finally quit. He only did that a couple times. And I looked at my phone at 6:51, I think. I looked back up there at those does, and there's the 8-point. I'm like, oh, wow.
Yeah.
They're going to show up.
Right.
Holy cow. And I pulled my binoculars. He's 150 yards away. I'm like, I know that deer because I passed him last year, and he's a distinct deer. He has his white patch just instead of stopping at the base of his neck or right underneath his jaw, he goes all the way down to his brisket. I'm like, mm-hmm. that'd be a cool deer to see in a couple years. And, well, this year I seen him, and I'm like, oh, wow.
And his threes kick out real wide, too.
He has real nice threes.
Yep.
I'm like, I know that deer. And he got about, I don't know, 15 inches bigger, maybe.
Yeah.
I'd and say. He's a 3-year-old last year, 4-year-old, which was my goal, was 2 4-year-olds this mm-hmm. year. And all of a sudden, and that's when I decided, I'm going to shoot this deer if he comes by. And none of the deer had came around this point. At this point, I'm like, so it's not going to happen tonight. Right. I'm going to figure out how somehow to slip out of here.
Mm-hmm.
Well, all of a sudden, he's dinging around, and all of a sudden just makes a V-line for me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, there ain't no way he's coming. Sure enough, he keeps coming and coming.
Yep, because like, there were more Snapchats here. You sent us the picture of him standing out there.
Yeah.
And then the next one I got was like, hang on, he's coming, or something like that was the next
you were
message I got.
Yeah, I think he was texting something. I seen the little emoji pop up. I'm like, hold that thought.
Yeah.
He's on his way.
Yep.
And then he came right to me, and he got closer and closer, and I'm like, he's going to get right here on me.
Mm-hmm.
So I draw back, because he's within 20 yards at this point. I draw back slow and easy. He can't see me. He's looking at the sun still. He gets perfectly broadside at, and I'm like, meh. He stops for just a second, and then keeps on going. I'm like, oh, no, this is going to be the house. How he's going to go.
Right.
So I go, meh, and he stopped good that time for just a second, so I rushed a shot because I knew he might go again like he did the first time. Well, in the meantime, I did not realize how quartering two he was. I smoked this thing.
Mm-hmm.
I knew I did. Smoked him. Well, he circles around, hooks around, gets about 30 yards, and just stands there and just tell he's hurt.
Mm-hmm.
And then I see my arrow fall out. I'm like, hang on, how come that thing's not over here?
Right.
Well, he works down into the holler that I'm sitting on, or the point I'm sitting on. And I don't know, 5 minutes go by, I just hear this crashing going on. I'm like, that must be him, but we're going to wait.
Mm-hmm.
And so I got good and dark. I think you called me after that point.
Yep.
And we talked. I called Nate and told him because I was pumped.
Yeah.
But I was also discouraged because that thing didn't go down because after I thought it smoked him.
Right.
So
it's always when they stop and stand.
Yeah, everything goes downhill real quick at that point.
Yeah, because I've seen so many times where you shoot them, and even you might think you hit them good, but they stop and then they stand there.
Yeah.
And then they either take off walking or at a trot, and then you never see them again. a lot of times.
Yeah, I was mind boggled. I was like, I know I smoked this thing. Like, I hit exactly where I wanted to. But, so I got down, snuck down real quiet, got over there to my arrow, and I'm like, picked it up. I'm like, this thing is covered in crap and guts. And I'm like, I know I didn't hit that deer that bad, and I know he's broadside. Well, so we backed out. That was the longest sleepless night of my life. Well, I could say I think that, but probably wasn't. But it was a long sleepless like night. I caught a lot of people, talked to a lot of people, and they said, because at that point I convinced myself that I didn't hit that good as I thought.
Right. And like you do when you something like that happens. You start second guessing yourself.
Yeah. I think I had 10 different stories going on in my head at that point. I'm like, I know I smoked this thing.
Yep.
I know I did. Well, we go out. It's me, you, and Witter. We went out there that morning. We're just creeping along, finding terrible blood. Like, it's not that great a blood trail. We started where the arrow fell out.
Yep.
And when we got there, we actually, something just smelled funny.
Yep.
And I'm like, he's got to be dead up in there somewhere. And so we just followed the trail for, what, 30 minutes, and we only went, like...
maybe that long.
Yeah, was it that long? 20 minutes?
Probably 20.
Yeah, we hadn't gone far, though.
No.
Because it was hard.
Yeah.
And...
we probably were 20 yards inside the timber.
30. Yeah. It was slow going, just gut shot, blood trail.
Right.
Well, the landowner worked his way up, because I told him about it, and he worked his way up and was following that ditch. I wish he wouldn't have, because that would have been bad if he was still alive.
Right.
But... we were at 20 yards from him, and he gets up there, and I'm just asking him, hey, did you find anything? He said, he's right here. And that's when the emotions came out, and I'm like, oh, thank there he goes. We found him.
Yep.
And he has literally found himself a hole and dug himself into it. And
yep. That's all that crashing you heard, no doubt.
Yeah, that was him falling in there.
It looked like from the blood trail, he got to that ditch, or big ditch, almost a creek, and he thought, I'm not jumping over that. I'm not going through it. And he turned back, and that was it. And then he ended up in that hole, which was like basically a cutout. And again, that's on the Fall Pursuit. So if you guys listen and want to, like, you're not really picturing what we're talking about, you'll see on episode one, that thing was literally in a hole. Like, if it had been a little thicker than it was in there, or even at night, all that was sticking up was his tines.
Yeah, you would not have seen him.
If we didn't ever get on good blood, it would have been so hard to find him.
Yeah. Like, it would have been terrible.
Yeah.
Like, the only thing that was out of the ground was his rack was holding him up.
Yep.
It was crazy. Never seen nothing like that before.
I hadn't either. Yeah, that was wild.
Yeah.
That whole recovery, just the way it all.
Yeah. It was like,
and they ended up being, what, 60 yards from where you shot him?
Yeah.
70?
Like, he was dead before I got out of the tree, I bet you.
Oh, yeah.
But the arrow being covered in the guts, I'm like, it just threw me off.
Yep. Yep.
And I thought I did the right thing by backing out.
Yeah. That's what we were talking about the blind earlier. Is like, if you shoot him, even if you... unless you just know.
You see him fall.
And you see him fall. Like, if he's dead, he's going to be dead when you go back.
Yeah.
Give him a couple hours.
Yeah, I have.
Give him 3
I
hours.
Have a, I stand, or what I do is if I don't see him fall, I'm giving him a minimum of 3 hours.
Yeah. I mean, you might as well.
Yeah.
Because they're still, like I said.
They're going to be dead.
If they're dead at the first hour, they're going to be dead at hour 3.
Yep.
They're not getting up and leaving.
Unless the arrow and the shot, or if you have it on video, indicates anything worse than 3 hour wait.
Right.
Give him a minimum of 3 hours.
Yeah. Yep. If you don't see him go down.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think that's a pretty safe rule. And you can kill 3 hours pretty easy. Like, you're going to be antsy wanting to go get him, but, like,
yeah,
get your stuff down, go to the truck, call somebody, drive back to the house, whatever it is, and then go look for him. Go grab something to eat. There's a lot of good stuff in there where you're talking about, like, is a first-year hunt, like, you just got permission to hunt this thing.
Yeah, I had been on this ground one time, and that was then.
And you went in and you were doing a hanging hunt, but you put your time in, even just from the truck, scouting and knowing, having a pretty good idea where to go and where those deer were going to be.
Yep.
And it's not by accident that something like that happens on opening day.
No.
Like, obviously, there's a ton of luck involved. There always is.
Oh, with me, there's always luck. There's got to be luck.
Well, with me, there's a lot of luck, too. It's mostly bad.
Yeah, I mean, that's usually my case, too. But once in a while, there's a four-leaf clover. I got a horseshoe shoved so far up, you know where.
Yep.
I hope it never falls out.
Right. But that's just, like I'm saying, though, like, you did the scouting. You put the time in beforehand, and you knew where to be, and you put yourself in the right position to have that happen.
Yep.
And that's what you got to do, especially on, you can apply that to private land, public land, permission land, whatever it is, like, you can apply that. And then stick it out. Like, if you got a plan, even if you almost cut your finger off or you forget your saw or the farmer's over there making love to his tractor with a hammer, you kind of just stick it out.
I mean, it was a John Deere, so you probably was mad at it.
Right. So that was the first buck. Yep. Like I said, opening day, which is your first opening day buck, right?
Yep.
Like, I mean, I think I said it on the episode, like, we're always so excited and there's a mm-hmm. lot of anticipation with opening day, but rarely do you kill one.
Nate's wife thought I was absolutely nuts for going out there. I'm like, yeah. They've been out there every day this week. I got to try it. You can't tell me that. I mean, got to try it.
Yeah. Yeah, especially when you knew what you knew mm-hmm. about those deer and where they'd been.
Yeah, and before we move on, that big 10-pointer that I was after did not show up that night. Because if he'd been out there, I don't think I would have shot that 8-pointer.
Right, yeah, because he was a really nice deer.
Yeah, he's almost 160.
Yeah, and, well, I mean, there's nothing wrong with the deer you shot.
Oh, 140-inch 8-pointer on opening day, a 4-year-old 8-pointer, I'm going
to
shoot.
Exactly.
I got too much redneck in me to not
to let
shoot.
Him go, exactly. Yeah. Okay, so fast forward now. You hunt hard for the month of October.
Yeah.
You're getting pictures of some deer. Mm-hmm. You actually went in and hunted a morning. I forget which episode it was on. But you'd had those bucks on a pretty good daylight pattern.
Mm-hmm. Every 3 day?
Yep. They were hitting a scrape on this field edge. Mm-hmm. So you went in there in the morning of the 14th, something like 14th. That.
It was the 5th, 8th, 11th.
Yes.
Is when they were daylighting on this scrape.
Yep. So you went on the 14th, which would have been the 3rd day.
Yep.
No luck.
No.
But you knew the buck was there. Like, yeah. It's a buck you'd seen from last year named High Rise.
Both of them was there.
Yeah.
That 10-pointer that I was going after opening day and High Rise was hitting this scrape.
Yep. You knew they were in the area.
Yes.
And so, again, you hunt hard all through October. And then November 3rd rolls around.
Yeah.
Correct? The 3rd. And take us through that hunt, because that was another crazy one in its own right. Not only for what actually happened when you shot him, like, how quick it all happened, but also that you were sitting there and
the conditions were terrible.
Gale force winds.
Yeah, I'm thinking, is this tree going to take me out to Kansas or what?
Hopefully. I mean, that's the best we can hope for.
Oh, yeah.
Drop us off somewhere in some cedars.
That'd be great.
We set the creek bottom in
Kansas. We set the world on fire is what we're about to do.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think it was 2:30 when I got into the tree. I think it was 20-mile-an-hour winds and 40-mile-an-hour gusts. Like,
it was stupid windy.
Yeah, it was crazy.
And you were on the field edge.
Yeah, and
you were just eating it.
Yeah, there was a half-mile open field from the south of me, so they had a good runaway to get up and build some speed.
Yes.
And so I was just sitting there eating it. Thankfully, it wasn't cold, because I don't know if I could have done it.
Yeah, I mean, that would have been brutal in the cold.
Yeah, but see, the last picture I've had of High Rise was in that food plot on the 22nd.
Mm-hmm.
Well, until I checked that, because that card, the camera that's on that plot is an SD card, but I checked it, and he was there the first of the daylighted the first,
mm-hmm.
daylighted the 22nd, and there's another day he daylighted in that plot.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't believe it.
Yep.
And that was the first year for that plot.
Yeah, and that was your Frosty Delight
plot. Yeah, that was Grandpa Ray's Frosty Delight.
Yeah.
That absolutely got destroyed by the deer.
It's been hammered, and you got pictures of them.
Yeah, there's 13 does in that food plot.
At the same time.
Yeah.
And it's how big of a plot?
A quarter acre.
Yeah.
I mean, it's destroyed.
Yep. And obviously there's still some there that they're eating, which is a testament mm-hmm. to planting a good brassica blend, like the amount mm-hmm. of tonnage you can get per acre.
And fertilizer.
Yeah. I mean, that's a testament to that in its own right, the fact that there's even anything left, because what is left, I mean, is very sparse because they've just hammered it. So
yeah,
hard.
It's only like 2-3 inches across the plot.
Yeah. And I mean, given we didn't get a ton of rain, so.
I got a half inch over all of September.
Yeah, so it didn't reach its full potential, but even at, we'll call it a half or maybe not even half potential.
Yeah.
Like, it still produced enough forage that.
It worked.
It worked. Yeah. I mean, I did what I wanted it to. Exactly. So that food plot is what you were sitting on that night, right?
Yeah. First year for this food plot, I put this food plot in to draw the does out of this cattle lot that's, I don't know, 100 yards, 150 yards away. You can't hunt it. It's so open, they'll bust you. There's usually about There has been this year about 20 does in that feedlot. Mm-hmm. My grandpa's not happy about it. It breaks the cattle fence like crazy, and yep. I hear about it all the time.
Yep.
But I'm gonna have to take care of them now.
Yeah. Now that you're done with the bucks, you can go take care of some doe issues.
Yeah. Maybe he can be happy for once, I guess. But now I'm sitting there, and those gale force winds just swaying back and forth, thinking this is stupid because I still got 300 acres of corn around me that's still standing. I'm like, I know those deer in that corn just like crazy. They got to be. Well, get in their tree about 2:30, 4:30, 4 o'clock rolls around. I see some doe standing in that cattle lot. They're getting up and down, just milling around, watching them through the binoculars some. I'm watching the combine just down a mile away, cut beans. I was just sitting there, just enjoying it, thinking I should be not in this tree.
Down
I'm
somewhere
loose.
Out of the wind.
Yeah, it's stupid. Right. I'm moving. Mm-hmm. About 4:30 rolls around, not expecting a deer to be anywhere near me, and all of a sudden I just hear some crashing into the food plot, which is to my left. Because I'm a right-handed, it's just perfect to,
right
on my left side. Well, I look out of the corner of my eye, I see it's a deer just come running in. I'm like, huh, interesting. Then I turned and looked, and it's high rise, and I could not believe it. That's the one deer I wanted most this year. Mm-hmm. He's not the biggest scoring deer that I was after, but
right.
he's the one that meant the most to me.
Mm-hmm. You have history with him.
Yeah. I had passed him 4 times last year. Mm-hmm. So, because
he did make a good jump.
Yeah, he made an incredible jump. Like, he was 125-inch.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Maybe.
Mid-120s.
Yeah, low 120s to mid-120s last year. And he grew up to be, blew up to 150-inch.
Yeah, like on the 150 on some change, right?
Yeah.
Almost 150 on the dot.
Yeah, just barely broke it.
But, yeah, right.
He broke it.
He broke it. And that's a jump from 3 to 4.
Yeah.
Which is, we talk about that all the time, like, 4 years old, they say they reach 90% of their antler potential. Some of them will still make a big jump from 4 to 5 and even 5 to 6, and they all vary. But most of the time, you're going to see that biggest jump between 3 and 4.
I can promise you I was not going to bank on that.
Right.
I was not going to let that happen.
Well, and that's another thing, too, we talk about. You know, when you're in certain, like, southeast Iowa, okay, like, mature deer there, okay, 5 and a half. Like, there's going to be some around, right? There's not a giant behind every tree, but there's more mature deer there than a lot of other places. Probably anywhere else in the whitetail range.
It's just the way
they manage the mindset up there. Where we're at a lot of places, a 4.5-year-old deer, in my mind, is a mature buck. I mean,
where I'm at, it is.
Yeah. We don't see a ton of 5.5-year-old deer. And you can pass the 4-year-olds and try to get them to that age, but a lot of times it just doesn't happen because there's not as much effort put into that across the board. You know what I mean? Which is fine, but it's just the reality of it, which is why, you know, I talk about if you can kill a deer that's a year older than the average deer being killed where you're at, that's probably, I would call that a mature trophy. Because most of the deer, I'd say we average 3.5-year-old. It's probably the average buck that's killed where we're at. In Iowa, maybe that's 4.5, so you're killing a 5.5-year-old buck. It all depends on where you're at.
Yeah.
So definitely 4.5, 150, like.
Solid deer.
Yeah.
I'm shooting that every time.
Yeah, exactly. Yep. I'd call you crazy if you passed it, probably.
I'm going to call myself crazy.
Right. But anyway, he gets into the plot, and you immediately recognize him, because he does have a really recognizable frame, hence the name.
Yeah, his frame is.
His main beams just come way up off his head.
Yeah, it's crazy. And he has a G2 that just. It just sticks straight out back for it, basically. I mean, it's up, but it points back instead of straight up. Immediately thinking, I'm not going to say what I thought, but you guys can imagine what I thought in my head.
Yep.
So I hurry up, stand up, grab my bow. I was immediate kill mode, so the footage, spoiler, the kill shot is not on camera.
Yeah, right.
But I immediately grab my bow, get my hand on my release that's on the string, because I use a handheld release. So I just leave it on the DD loop.
Right.
He takes off, heading for that cattle pasture. I'm like, there was my chance. I just blew this because I'm not paying attention, which you got to.
Right.
He caught me with my pants down, but he takes off running, and I'm like, oh, no. And he's running, and I just draw back because I know I'm gonna try and stop him with all my might. So he gets out there. And right before he gets to my opening, I just yell, hey, as loud as I can, because I know the old man ain't gonna work.
Not in that wind. Not with him running.
It ain't happening tonight.
Yeah.
So I yell, "Hey!" as loud as I can, and he heard it. It didn't spook him none. He just like, "What was that?" and turned around and stopped.
Right.
I mean, I'm like, yes, it worked. And I use a single pin, and I have my pin set at 25. That's usually where I keep it when I'm hunting. Mm-hmm. And he was not at 25 no more, or 20, where he was broadside.
Right.
He was, when I ranged, after I shot, I ranged it, and he was at 34. Mm-hmm. So I aimed, I don't know, right at the spine, where a spine would be on a buck.
Right.
Is where I aimed. And I let her go. I didn't count for the wind. I should have, because that wind, that arrow was flying funky.
I bet it was.
But it tucked right in that shoulder, and it got him good.
You hammered him.
Yeah. And he takes off. I immediately put my bow in the hanger, grab the camera, and as soon as I got recording, he is falling over.
Mm-hmm.
Got him.
It's the first thing you see when you get the camera rolling is him flopping over.
Yep.
Which is the best sight after you shoot one.
Such a relief, because I honestly thought I did get the shoulder at first, but then as he's running, as I'm reaching for the camera, I'm watching him. I see blood pumping.
Yeah.
I'm like, he's done.
That's a good feeling.
Like, then the emotions came on.
Yep.
Because the emotions couldn't, I didn't have any built up pre-shot because it happened so fast. Well.
Which is sometimes a good thing.
Yeah.
For certain really people, especially. Like, if you can't get yourself to calm down and focus on the shot, if you're watching that buck come in for 10 minutes, you can get so worked up and be so wore out that it comes time to make the shot, and it's tough to do.
Then you rush it.
Yep.
Yep.
Whereas if it's just like, oh, crap, there he is, stop him, shoot, and then it all comes.
Yeah,
like,
those stop and shoots, it comes natural from tons and tons and tons of practice.
That's why you gotta shoot.
Yeah.
Then it's just muscle memory. You're not thinking about
it. That's 100% correct.
Yep.
And I shoot a lot.
Yeah.
Just for moments like that.
Yep. Yep. But that's, like you said, that's sometimes a good thing for sure. But anyway, he goes down, and then that's when all that stuff comes after the shot. You start getting worked up.
Yeah, you guys need to watch the video because it's I'm not normally like that. That one was just extra special because that was the one deer I wanted that year more than anything.
Yep. That's the reason we do it right there is for that emotion, that adrenaline.
That high.
Yes, after you kill him, after you know he's dead, or even just after an encounter with a really big buck, like you still get a certain, like a hit of that, we'll call it.
Mm-hmm.
You get that hitter.
That's the one hitter. I ain't the full blunt, but that's just the one hitter.
Right. But then when he goes down, like,
it was
find that anywhere else.
No.
You really can't.
People don't. Unless you experience and know what we're talking about, people will never know. Mm-hmm.
So you said you don't watch baseball, when we were talking in here earlier, but those of you that do will probably recognize the name Josh Hader. He's a lefty reliever. Played for the Brewers for a while. Now he's out in San Diego. Big leaguer, he's been in the postseason, like pitched in big games in front of tens of thousands of people, right? He's also got like a hunting show that he's kind of doing. I forget the name of it now, but I was listening to him on a podcast and he was talking about it. And the guy, the host of the podcast, asked him, he was like, so, because he was talking about hunting, like, dude, this is crazy. You got to get out there and experience it. You don't know till you get there. And the guy asked him, he's like, so what? What gets your adrenaline going more, pitching in a big league game in front of 40,000 people or shooting a buck? And he was like, oh, shooting a buck for sure. Like, that's where he puts it. And that's a guy that's out there throwing in a big league game in front of thousands of people in a postseason, like everything on the line. That's your job.
Mm-hmm.
So much pressure. And he was like, oh, shooting a buck is a top set.
If he wants to donate his yearly paycheck, I'll take it.
right.
I'll go to pitch for a little
bit. But it's
just
a test to what you're saying.
Yeah.
Like, it's if you haven't ever done it,
you
cannot appreciate the feeling of getting one down.
Next best thing is watching a group of Canadas come in.
Oh, yeah.
That's number two.
Work in perfect.
Yeah. Yep. And wreck them.
Yep. And just let it eat.
Yeah.
Yep. So he goes down, you got all the emotions and everything, and everybody will get to see that on the episode that's coming out tomorrow night, so make sure you stay tuned for that. But then you get over there to him, and man, he looks good.
He looked bigger than I thought.
Yep.
Like I was.
He was heavier than I thought based on the pictures.
Yeah, his frame was bigger than I thought.
Yep.
I mean, beautiful deer. Yep. I could not believe it. And I finally got him, and I'm like, wow. I'm done for the year, and I'm so glad it's on this deer.
Right.
Like, this, like, that's the deer I wanted.
That's a whole other element to it, too, is where you can shoot a deer that you don't know, and that's great. Like, same great emotional feeling. But when you when it's a deer you know, and it's a deer you put the food plot in for specifically, and you've been hunting him, and you passed him last year, there's also, like, another element of achievement to that.
Yeah.
Not necessarily just the emotions of it, but, like, man, I did it. Like,
yeah.
This is what I set out to do.
Yeah, that was the goal,
that
and
was
you
my
got
goal,
it.
And you achieved that goal.
Yeah, I set, I think, the two main goals I set this year was to shoot, number one was to shoot him, and the other one was to shoot another four-year-old, and I accomplished both of those, and I'm happy with how my year ended.
Yep. And on November 3rd.
Yeah.
So you got to hunt a little,
like,
bit of the rut.
2 hours into my vacation.
Right.
Yeah. So this whole next week I'm off and I get to be cameraman.
Yep.
And I'm happy about it. Except for Saturday. I'm going to go shoot some ducks.
Yeah. There you go. So yeah, that kind of leads us into what I was going to get into also is, like, this week, and Nate will make, I believe, his first appearance on tomorrow night's episode. You guys know Nate from the podcast, but he hasn't been on the show yet. He's going to hunt hard this week, I think. Get out there. He's got a couple good bucks that he's on that have been showing up in daylight. I know you're going to go run the camera for him a little bit.
Yep.
Here coming up this week while you're on vacation. He's got some days off. So hopefully we'll have some more deer getting down pretty soon. And I think I talked about it a little bit. The shed buck showed back up on the 2nd, if I'm remembering right, in the morning of the 2nd, like 1:30 in the morning. So I know he's still around. I hadn't seen him since the 24th. I got him. There's another shooter at the cabin that was in daylight. He's been in daylight a couple times. So that's kind of where I'm going to spend as much time there as I can. Up at the North Farm, I got some shooters there too, but nothing like that shed buck. So we were talking about it in the blind earlier. Like, I'm either going to bust him out of there probably, or I'm going to kill him. Like, he is my goal for the year. He's been my goal for the year since I saw him last year and found a shed. Kind of like what you're talking about with high rise. I would have killed him last year because I think he is 5.5 this year. But I never got the chance. I got tons of pictures of him. And that's the reason I put the new plot in, was for him.
Yep.
And unfortunately, we didn't get a lot of rain, so it didn't turn out great. But got enough there that they're coming into it. We saw that little buck picking through it tonight. I've had plenty of does in it. He's been in there once in the daylight. But it's going to be a matter of getting the right winds. And even if they're not perfect, like, if the weather's good, I might go in there after him. Because
sometimes, right before gun season, you do got to get aggressive, even if their wind is not 100%. Like,
exactly.
You got to get at it.
Now, I'm not saying I'm going to go in there on, like, an exactly wrong wind.
But no.
If I got one where I think it's
marginal,
50-50, he's going to come from a good direction, like, I'll probably get in there and do it once we get into
the, like, teens.
Yes. Or even 11th, 12th.
Yeah.
Definitely teens, though, because, man, he's just so, he was so daylight active last year. He's been daylight active this year. I he's either, like we said, talked about this too, he's either got a really small home range or he travels a bunch. So I'm either going to bust him out of there or I'm going to kill him. Like, that's my goal for this season, the rest of the season going forwards. And I think this weekend could be really good.
Thursday, I'm thinking Thursday is going to be a good day.
Yep. I talked about it on, I believe, was it 101 or the last full draw Friday? I talked about the rut days.
Yeah, you talked this last full draw Friday.
Was it?
Yeah.
So I was kind of like talking, if I had the days, like if you had the flexibility to take off, like this Thursday, Friday would probably be the 2 days I'd take off.
Oh, for sure.
Or the Friday, Monday,
that
if you
couldn't
get that
front is coming
Thursday.
In Thursday after this 73 to 70 degree days we got in a row, almost 80.
Yep. I think in, this will be on the, I think I said it in the closing of tomorrow's episode, but like any time between the 1st and 15th that you can get a cold front, man, that's, you got to be out there.
Yeah.
You got to be out there anyway this time of year because you just never know. But if you get a cold front, you better be in the stand. If you can at all get out there. And one thing I was talking about on the last episode where I was mentioning that, even like now with time change, if you can get out for a couple hours before work, and you got one you're wanting to kill or you just need to get out there, man, get out there and do it.
Yep.
Because it's the time of year that it could happen. The first hour, it could happen noon, it could happen 2 o'clock, or the last hour. Like, you just never know, right?
Yeah, now. Mine was at 4:30 in the afternoon.
Exactly.
On a high 60-degree day and 20-mile-an-hour winds.
Yep. And we're getting, like, in the next few days, don't be surprised if your trail cameras start showing, like, 11-to-1 movement, too. That one in the new spot that me and you went and hunted this morning.
Yeah.
You've had some young bucks moving there midday.
Yeah.
Already.
Yep. And I'm thinking Thursday, you or Nate need to be in that spot.
Yeah. I think it's going to be really...
I mean, there's three shooters in there within 2 days, 3 days.
Yeah, it's hot right now.
Yeah, like... And
it's just a matter of time before it's daylight.
Yeah, last night there was $2 on one camera.
Yep.
That were shooters. Yep. Like, one of you guys need to be in there, and I'm going to be right there, and we're going to get it done.
Yep. Yeah, something's dying in that spot. If we can get in there,
mm-hmm.
something's dying there.
I mean, this spot just looks too good.
It is. It connects those two bedding areas like you're talking about. It's a
big funnel.
It is like the epitome of a rut funnel.
Yes.
Between bedding areas. Like I talked about that on one of the last episodes as well, like different types of funnels and stuff. But like when you think of one and you're looking on a map and the topography and stuff, like that is where you're going.
First year hunting it, and I cannot be more excited.
Yeah.
I don't care if I'm not the one with the bow in my hand.
Right.
I'm excited. Like this morning when we were sitting in it, mm-hmm. I was sitting there like any minute. We're 1 minute closer from one of these guys just making the mistake.
And it's the kind of spot too where...
You are sitting all day if you get in there right. on the right day, I feel like.
And like a giant could show up.
Yeah, like because there is tons and tons and tons of woods, both north and south. Like
yeah, and lots of brushy, thick, nasty stuff. Oh, you know they use it in working through there.
Mm-hmm.
And that connects them both, which is
it connects
about.
Everything.
And it narrows everything down there with the ridges and with the timber. It's just...
I think the ridges right there, I think it's 60 yards across.
Yeah.
And we're right in the middle of it.
Yep. I mean, it's just a... Could be a really dynamite spot, so I'm looking forward to seeing what comes out of there. Because, mm-hmm. like I said, it's the kind of spot, like kind of like the cabin where I was telling you today, at any time a 180 could walk through there.
Oh, I'm confident a 180 is going to be walking through there in the next 2 weeks.
Yeah.
100% confident in it.
Yep. If there's one around, like he's probably going to find himself in there at some point.
Yeah. And I hope you or Nate is there.
Me too.
Yeah. I mean, all for it.
Yep. That'd be awesome. We can get it on there and show everybody, so... You got anything else before we get out of here for this one?
No. I'm already starting to plan for next year. I got some crazy things going on. Mm-hmm. There is a four-year-old that I was excited for this year, but I found a shed last spring, and he had it off wrong.
Mm-hmm.
It broke off below his base, 2 inches, so that side did grow back funky this year. He is a four-year-old. He's going to be... I haven't seen him. He's not been on pictures. Like, him and High-Rise were... all over me last year.
Yeah.
This year, no. Yep. It's crazy. Like, well, except for High-Rise was, and I just SD card problems.
Right.
Except cell cameras.
Right.
But I want him already bad next year. Because I know he's going to, like, his body is blew up
because
he's trying to get healthy
because
something was wrong with him. I mean, that's why his shed came off wrong.
Yep.
So he put on a ton of body weight. And I feel like they say that the next year after they do that, they blow up.
Yeah, I might have talked about it on here a while back.
Yeah.
The NDA did a study, had a deer, a captivity deer, which sure, it's in captivity, whatever, but it's still basically a high-fence deer, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's still a study. I mean,
it's as close to wild as they're going to get while being able to study it. Mm-hmm. And they got bit by a rattlesnake at 3 years old, 2 years old. I think it was 3 years old. And it was just like a 120-inch deer, you know, if that. And it blew up into like 180 inches after it healed up from that rattlesnake.
Yeah, that's what I want him to do.
Yeah, I mean, it that thing, because it healed, and then all the excess this body was producing, trying to get healthy, went into its rack.
Yeah, I want that to
happen.
Which,
like what you're talking about, with that thing being big-bodied like that.
That could happen.
What it boils down to a lot of times with antler blown up is how much excess energy they have, how much excess nutrients they're getting. Because first and foremost, they got to go to their body because they're going to get run down during the rut. That's why sometimes you'll see bucks go downhill a little bit from 4 to 5, or they won't make a real big jump if you have too many does around because they're running themselves ragged through November.
Yep.
And then they got to spend December trying to build their body weight back up rather than if they're not running as hard, if you have less does for them to chase after during the rut, if they're already a bigger body deer and they're not using as much of their reserves, then they can spend December putting on fat, and that energy, those nutrients are going to go build their body up, and you're going to have excess to go into their antlers. And that, you know, like with that one being injured, you know that's what's happening.
Mm-hmm.
So there's potential. He could blow up into something.
Yeah, I do know he's live because I did get video of him from a buddy that seen him tonight.
Yeah.
He is alive, and he is chasing.
Yep. And that goofy side might be what gets him a pass from somebody. You just never know.
Yeah, I'm banking on it real big because I know I have an idea what he can blow, and he's going to be a giant 8-pointer.
Yep.
Yep. And I'm excited about it.
That'd be awesome.
I passed him a couple times last year in the hopes of him doing something this year, but it didn't happen. So he automatically got the pass from me, but he gets it now because I don't have tags.
Right, for sure. So it's going to be hard to top this year, so maybe he'll blow into something so you can.
I'm excited to try and top it, but if I don't, that's fine, but I'm going to try.
Yep. Well, hopefully someone else can get on the board this week or next week for the show. That'll be good. So we're going to try to get another guest on next week. I was kind of working around a guy's schedule. We've playing phone tag a little bit, so we'll get you somebody else on next week. Don't know who it'll be yet. If I get it in time, I'll put it in the Facebook group so you guys can ask some questions if you want to. But that's going to wrap it up for this week. That's kind of Blake season. If you see anything on Fall Pursuit with me or Nate, he's probably behind the camera from now on if we're not self-filming. So let us know how his video is going. But that'll work. We'll see you guys on Friday.
Keep hunting, guys.